Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan.
I'm Don.
And I'm Jan.
It's since you're in the magazine, Jan, that we are doing a podcast from sunny San Diego. Well, we've made a detour.
We did. We went up north of that about 38 minutes.
And we are in San Marcos.
We are.
With our new friend, Marion Stunkel. Yay!
Welcome, Marion.
Thank you.
Well, Marion is a writer. She has been doing the Passed On Words series, reviews of stories my parents read. And her parents were parents in the 1930s and lovers and newlyweds, and read stories back and forth to each other in letters that she has maintained and has kept. And she has vowed to reread those tomes that Mom and Dad had read together. So that's what we've been putting in the magazine here for the last 9 months, right?
I don't think it's been quite 9 months, has
no,
it?
No, I think since July.
Yeah, yeah.
Since July.
But I think what you're thinking of, Don, is that we had Marion in the magazine before she began her column. So let's let our readers and listeners know how that came to be. So, Marion, how did you discover the Owl Creek Gazette?
Well, actually, my nephew, Bob Thompson, discovered the Owl Creek Gazette. He has a farm in Jasper County, Illinois, and he goes down to Effingham for different things, and so he picked up a copy of the Owl Creek Gazette, as he usually did, and he happened to notice that there was a calling all writers advertisement, and my nephew Bob knows that I write, and so he called me on the phone. I was on the bus in Madison, Wisconsin, coming home from the library, having just been writing in the library. And he called me and told me about it. And so I went home and I was really excited because writers like audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We sure do.
Yes. And so I got to thinking, it was spring, and so I wrote an article about my mom, my mm-hmm. nephew Bob's grandma, and spring and on the farm. And so it was called Spring in Sight. And so I learned about the Owl Creek Gazette from my nephew Bob.
And he really has kind of all the attributes we talk about in the magazine are either right up his alley or something he's already been involved with, correct?
Yes. My nephew Bob he's 11 years younger than I am, which is not very, it's now it doesn't seem like any time at all. But I remember the day he was born, and he was the only child I actually ever spanked. And he was so horrified at what I had done that I have not spanked another child. I've always used my words, mm-hmm. which my mother said was rather cruel. She said, when you get spanked, it's over with you constantly reminding a child it's never over with. Anyway, but Bob loved birds and fishing and everything outside from the time he was born, it almost seems. And he's a hunter, and he has got a little farm, and up in, he works for the city in a small town south of Chicago. And he has a garden every year there and down in Jasper County, and he has bees, and he gives all of his produce away to his neighbors, and green tomatoes are beloved by the people in South Chicago.
Oh, you betcha.
Pardon me?
But you betcha. The green tomatoes are... You fried green tomatoes. And what else are you going to do with a green tomato? Fry it.
Exactly. I have hearing aids, so I'm a what person?
we're all scooting and leaning into the microphone here. So it was wonderful that he told you about us, and then you contacted us with your article, and we ran it. And then I think you said we've exchanged emails, talked on the phone, and then when you came up with this offering – the fact that you wanted to share what you learned more about your parents, reading their love letters to each other. Yeah. But in those love letters, like Don said, were books that they had read. And so you got to know them even better through that. And it's been a really interesting way to review a book for our magazine.
Yes. And I was walking through the park, through Tinney Park in Madison, trying to think of what I could write because I didn't have another spring in sight in mind. Mm-hmm. And because I had just been talking with my nephew Bob about my parents' letters that they wrote from June of 1935 to December of 1936, I got to thinking about those letters and about the books and how much I'd enjoyed the books. And I came up with the idea of passed on words because they passed on so much to me through mm-hmm. the words. Mm-hmm. So the books they mentioned and their comments on the books have just been almost inspirational. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have been inspirational.
Mm-hmm. You had a quote, I think you said, that you're father used to share all the time and talk about inspirational words. Do you want to read that real quick for our listeners?
Yes, thank you. Okay. If there is righteousness in the heart, there will be beauty in the character. If there be beauty in the character, there will be harmony in the family home. If there is harmony in the home, there will be order in the nation. When there is order in the nation, there will be peace in the world.
That's a perfect quote for this time of year, too,
yes,
isn't it?
Christmas message.
Right. And in your father's own handwriting, you said.
Yes. I was hoping to be able to show you here the letters that my parents wrote, mostly my dad. My mother didn't keep but four letters. She kept almost all of Daddy's. But my nephew, as we were talking about this review, I left him the letters to read because he was enjoying them so much. So all I have, I took notes on them in the books and mm-hmm. the quotes. So all I have is his handwriting from here, not the actual letters. They're in Illinois along with you.
And this is interesting too. We've mentioned Illinois and California and Wisconsin, but how did you get, what brought you to San Marcos that we could even meet up with you here?
My son decided to move from Connecticut to San Marcos, California. His wife is Venezuelan. She lived in the Midwest and the East with him for all the years of their marriage. And she decided that it was now time for warmth and an ocean. And so they picked California. And so my nephew had asked me to come to his farm in Illinois and lived there, and then my son said, well, no, we want you to come where you are. So uh-huh. I've ended up in San Marcos, and I'm very happy here. And there's a little tiny bit of a story that I think I've got another idea, well, about an article uh-huh. that I would just be telling you now. But first of all, one amazing thing that happened was when my son uh-huh. said that he was moving in July to San Marcos, I called Jan and wanted to know if I could still write for the Owl Creek, even though I was moving to California. I wasn't totally enthusiastic about California, but then I called her and she said, well, yes, of course you can. And turns out my sons live in the San Diego area, and one son is an architect, and so I asked about apartments, and Jan gave suggestions that her son Zach had suggested, and I took it as a sign she said, yes, you can write from San Diego. And I took it as a sign that here this long connection, tenuous connection through the Owl Creek Gazar. Boy, that water flows far.
That's some creek, isn't it?
It's some creek.
One of these, well, later on I'll pull up a map of Owl Creek and you'll see just how short it is.
Well, this was for Christmas in this edition of the Owl Creek. I wrote about The Gift of the Magi by O. Henry. But do you know that in O. Henry's The Ransom of Red Chief, do you know that story?
No.
Well, it's a wonderful story, and maybe I'll review that. Uh-huh. But in The Ransom of Red Chief, there is an Owl Creek.
Oh, okay.
That's so wonderful, isn't it?
Yes.
And, you know, there's many Owl Creeks that we have seen, too, over the years. There was Rod Serling, of all people, had done a story on an incident at Owl Creek.
Ooh. It's creepy.
It was creepy, and the guy was to hang.
Oh,
for a war crime, and as he was hanging, the rope broke.
Oh,
in his mind.
Oh,
he went free and swam through Owl Creek and got away from the people that were hanging him to be with his betrothed, his wife, and. When he got to her, he found that he was still at the end of his rope.
Oh.
that was the twist.
So it is creepy.
No. It's kind of cool, too.
It's cool and creepy, but it doesn't.
That was the incident at Owl Creek.
That's right. But that didn't happen at our Owl Creek. Our Owl Creek is much happier and livelier than that.
The incident at Owl Creek Bridge.
I think that's it, yes. Yes.
But that was an eye-opener. Our involvement with Owl Creek, I mean, what actually started the magazine was Jan and I were reading Walden.
Oh.
At our place on Owl Creek.
We have a little piece of land that sits right next to Owl Creek.
And there's nothing out there but grass and us and owls.
And our old camper.
Right. And so we're sitting here reading back and forth and we're talking about what we might be able to do. And this was 7 years ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the Owl Creek Gazette started, was over a conversation about Walden.
Oh, that is so cool.
And what's really interesting, this year, for 2018, we're going to begin featuring Emerson and Thoreau.
And Louisa May Alcott.
Louisa May Alcott, all those transcendentalists, all the New England philosophy, the love of nature, and using those individuals as kind of our basis. So do you have any books like that you may want to?
Oh, well, that is just so exciting. Because on my 70th birthday, my son asked me what I would like to do. And he invited me to come to Connecticut. And I said, I want to go to Concord want to go to Walden Pond. And so I actually have a picture which perhaps you can include. When you go to where Thoreau's cabin was on Walden Pond, apparently visitors gather a rock and put it on a shrine.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go there?
We've not gone there, but I've read so much about it and I've visited the website. I almost feel like I've been there.
Yes, well, you will be going there. Mm-hmm. And I put a rock and then I put the picture on it. And I was wonderful, and Walden and Thoreau, and they have, in Concord, they have a room, Thoreau's belongings, and so there is this table and all of that. There are just so many interesting things, but one of the things that led me to the Owl Creek Gazette my nephew led me to it, but that has bonded me to you all in the Owl Creek Gazette, and I just, so fun that you started it over Walden, was that I got involved in simple living as an idea, and totally Walden's idea that you don't need to count on more than your 10 fingers, and so this whole idea of living simply, and I have Walden quoted in my book, I think Thoreau quoted in my book, Mm-hmm. Oh, this is exciting. It I is. Cannot wait.
Looking forward to 2018 even more.
Oh,
aren't
wow.
We?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm verklempt. I have goosebumps. That's too damn cool. It really is.
And well, and we're planning our April 2018, what used to be a home show, we've changed it to a fair, but it's a self-reliance and sustainability fair. We have one every year. This will be our fifth year. And the theme behind that is, again, based on these individuals who call themselves fellow travelers. And you don't have to agree on absolutely everything, but if you find something that you share, then you can walk that path together. And, of course, that's what we do in the Owl Creek Gazette. People have said before we're a hippie newspaper. Someone else has said we're a right-wing prepper newspaper. We've been called everything under the sun. But I think people find what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And if we find a common ground in the midst of all that, we all become fellow travelers.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. When is it going to be next August?
April 14th.
April 14th.
April 14th.
Put that on. I sent a trip to Illinois.
Maybe. Oh, my.
We've had some really interesting individuals come and speak at our events. Mountain Man.
Oh, yeah. We had Eustace Conway. Eustace was, and still is, I suppose, persecuted for his ownership of the land, as it were. He is a steward of the land and was teaching old skills and how to build properly and how to build and live in a cabin and how to
and make, garden and skin garden. And
right all the heritage skills that anybody would need to survive that were being lost in the mountains of Appalachia. And he owned a substantial chunk of property that was on the other side of a housing development. And they could see that this property was pristine and needed to be developed as well.
Oh.
And they tried to take his property away from him because you can add up all of the reasons why they may have wanted to take it, but nobody can actually pinpoint that the county was actually doing these things to him. But it was the ultimate goal, and that would have been the ultimate outcome, that there would have been a piece of property that could have been developed at that point to its fullest potential. And that's what they really want to see is the tax revenue. Anytime a county's decided that they're going to go after you, you've got to follow the money. So at any rate, he has won and has developed his property. They call it Turtle Island.
And when you say developed, they've actually maintained what life used to be on that property. And so people come from all over
to learn these heritage skills.
Right.
And have day camps and a weekend camp for the boys or a weekend camp for the girls. And they learn life. They learn life skills, which is something that, you know, is not taught any longer.
Absolutely.
And love of the land and nature. And so anyway, we had Eustace Conway come. He was the very first keynote speaker we had at our event, and he left people in tears and inspired beyond words. And so we've been fortunate to have really competent people in an individual kind of capacity that thrive on something that they're able then to share with us, some lost skill or something like that. It's really been neat. So we don't have all the details worked out for the April 2018, but we're narrowing it down to who all will be speaking. But that'd be wonderful if you could come join us for that.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Southwest has some pretty cheap fares, I think.
I would love to have someone that actually could portray Thoreau come and speak. I've been looking around for that, and I think that would be fun to hear Thoreau speak at this event.
Yes.
So we'll let that.
We were not going to throw that idea away.
No, a punster. Oh, that's just wonderful. Have you heard of the Humanure Handbook?
No.
Tell us.
I've totally blanked on the author's name right now, but I heard him at the Midwest Sustainability Fair in Wisconsin a number of years ago. And he has written a book and rewritten it on using humanure as fertilizer.
Oh, okay.
And it is awesome. And I got another copy for my nephew, Bob. Mm-hmm. But Bob and wife Sandy were, maybe that's a little too far for us right now. So I ended up giving it to my nephew who was expecting a baby.
Well, and a baby puts a one so close to that manure.
Yes. Exactly. But he would be an interesting speaker for sure.
Oh, that's so cool. We, you know, in the wild, you generally want to try to compost everything that will compost.
Mm-hmm.
And a composting toilet is no stranger to living this simple life. So it's just a matter of enough sawdust and proper disposal.
This is beyond a composting toilet.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, yeah. On crack.
let's say, we don't want to say steroids either.
Okay. Well, to be developed later on.
A food to be developed.
Yeah. That's right. Oh,
thrill would be thrilled.
Well, I wanted to say to our listeners that before we turned on the microphones, we visited Fast and Furious for an hour, and we can see that we could talk a long time because our interests are so similar and our complaints even too about certain things. But these are the ties that bind. So anyway, I guess we're just about ready to end this episode. But I tell you what, Marion, keep writing for us and check your calendar. And if you could make it back, heck, you could be one of the speakers.
Oh, well. Oh, my.
The most we can do is give you dinner and put you out.
We could do that, too. If you don't want to speak, you're welcome at our house. And if you want to speak, you're welcome at our house.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much. I cannot tell you what a gift my nephew gave me in the Owl Creek Gazette and what a gift you are to see you in person. It's been delightful.
Thank you so much.
And Merry Christmas, too.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And how's it said in Swedish?
I don't know, but I can say it in Portuguese.
Take us out with Merry Christmas in Portuguese.
And, well, in Spanish, too. Okay. Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad, yeah.
Okay, before we close, we've got three guys here, three very cool guys, I might add, that want to offer some season's greetings before we go. We've got Gabe Stover, Zach Stover, our two sons. We've got James Littell, a past and newsflash former writer, no, past and future writer of the Owl Creek Gazette. And so, Gabe, what do you want to say to the listeners?
Happy Festivus.
Gabe has always been a man of few words. Moving on, James.
Zach and I want to say Merry Christmas.
We do want to say Merry Christmas. We have a little tune.
And here we want to leave you with a song.
Okay, take us out, guys.
1, 2, 3. Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if it'll be so, but the full of cheer. Rudolph the red-nosed
reindeer
had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it,
you would
say,
it.
And it glows like a light bulb. Like a light bulb. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Bye-bye.